rate, debate, recreate,
we're here. Hey,
we are here.
We've
Hello,
made it.
Everyone.
Hi, everyone. All the girls and gays.
Only.
We'd like to welcome you to the very first episode of Rate, Debate, Recreate. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Culler.
And we are about to fight. things are about to get feisty up in here because Logan is about to put the great Stephen Sondheim on blast.
Okay. Let's not say that yet.
I don't want him to sue us.
We're not really about to fight because we are actually not in the same state right now. I'm in New York and
I'm in Georgia. Hashtag yes, COVID.
You're in Georgia. But we are about to engage in a friendly debate and discussion about one of our favorite shared interests, which is musicals.
Woo, we love them. So just setting up the kind of basis for the show. So each week we'll be talking about two different musicals. Me and Logan love musicals. We live by them. So we're really excited to get to speak about them together, excuse me. But each week we'll talk about two different musicals, which we've grouped together by category that we made up because that's our podcast and we can do whatever we want to do. So we pick the category. And then we'll start by rating musical we chose on a scale of 1 to 10. And then we'll debate the merits of each musical, what we like, what we don't like. And then we'll change an aspect of the musical to make it better because we're the experts. And
yes, we certainly are. And we obviously can recreate something that Sondheim did and make it better.
Yeah. Yeah. I know better. It's true.
So the backstory for this is that Sammy and I went to college together and we were in the same musical theater group. Sammy was actually my big. Go Pitchers.
Like, go Pitchers. If you're out there
that was
listening.
Our family. Yeah, all the pitchers out there, we love you. Yeah. So throughout the course of our time in this musical theater group, there was a debate, and I did start the debate. and it was about two age-old musicals and which one was better. I was and am firmly in the camp that Shrek the Musical is better than Into the Woods. And so our group kind of divided half and half of which musical was better. And Sammy and I decided that that would be a fun thing to talk about.
Yeah,
and then we came up with this idea to do it, you know, with a lot more musicals that we determine because it's our podcast.
And we can do what we want. I think saying that we were split half and half is a tad generous.
To Into the Woods.
No, to Shrek the Musical, God bless it.
Okay, that's like the old generation of cast. The new gens are all on my side.
I don't know anyone. I'm so old. But how do you know that then?
I keep up.
Oh, God.
Amanda Nolan just did a duet on Instagram with the guy that voiced Doofenshmirtz. Like, I know that. I know them.
Shout out to Amanda Nolan.
Literally, I am such an Amanda Nolan stan. Everyone follow her on Instagram and TikTok.
Oh my God, TikTok. Oh, RIP. But anyway, so like we said, this kind of grew out of the debate between Shrek the Musical and Into the Woods. So those are the musicals we'll be starting with. And as I said before, each week will be a category. So the particular category that those two musicals fit in, we decided was, drumroll please, Fairy Tales Gone Wrong, parentheses, or right, question mark?
Who can never be sure?
Who can know? But anyway, so we're just, if you're listening, like, we really appreciate it. Just want to say up front, we're not professionals by any means, but we're getting through this, and we just are trying to hopefully bring a little levity to your life during these trying times, because things kind of suck. So hopefully this can be a little bit of a break for you.
Things suck, and we also don't have theater to escape to.
No, we don't. Not till 2021. Like,
at
this,
least.
This could be people's only escape into the magical world of Broadway. It's you and me, buddy. Against the world. Oh, anyway, do you want to get started?
Yes, let's go ahead and get started. So to get started, Sammy and I are going to each give a little summary of the musicals that we're about to talk to. Then we will both rate them we'll debate them, and then we'll recreate them, as the old pun goes.
Yes, yes.
So I'll start off with Shrek the Musical and a quick synopsis of it. First of all, how can you not know Shrek? Iconic movie. There are three, and actually Shrek 2 is the best of the movies, just to set the record straight.
I agree.
If we're talking about Shrek 1, 2, 3, and Shrek the Musical is number one in my books. So it's based off of the movie, just the first movie. And it starts off with Shrek, who is quite literally abandoned by his family at the age of 8, and left to the world on his own. And you see him kind of develop this, like, me against the world, tough persona. Shrek's an ogre, by the way. I don't think I said that.
In case you didn't know.
And yeah, along the way, he meets Donkey, who is Donkey and really cute. I don't really have anything else. He's like really charismatic and fun. Yeah. Well, in the movie.
I know.
Daniel Beaker from Passing Strange in the musical, who I'm obsessed with. Anyway, along the way, Shrek runs into Lord Farquaad, who is, you know, the villain of this show, but he volunteers to rescue Princess Fiona and deliver her to him. They're like destined to be together, and I think they're betrothed or something like that. You know, it's the classic Disney kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. But along the way, the three of them kind of become a trio after he saves Fiona. Fiona was like locked in a tower her whole life, basically waiting for this prince to come and save her. And the one that saves her is Shrek, an ogre. So there's like obviously a lot of things to work through there. But then we find out not only is Shrek an ogre, Fiona is also. And the only way that she can get rid of that curse is to marry a prince. And she thinks that person is Lord Farquaad. I won't spoil who she ends up with, wink, wink, but it ain't Farquaad. And there's Donkey? A grand old possibility. There's a grand old ending, happy ending, and it's just like a good little fairy tale, but a really good spin on that trope.
Yeah. So what would you rate Shrek? And what's your rating scale? We'll also have a different rating scale. It's like suited towards the musical. So.
Yeah. I would rate Shrek the Musical 9 out of 10 Shrooks.
Oh my god.
Those of you who haven't yet been enlightened to the word shrook, it's basically when you're shook, but also an avid fan of Shrek the Musical. So you can be shrook at something, and I consistently am. And I'm giving this musical 9 out of 10 shrooks.
I say shrook in like casual conversation still a lot, and people are always like, excuse me?
It's a Slack emoji shit. Where I work, and like a lot of people don't know the beginning of it, but like they use it all the time. I made it.
it's making its way into the zeitgeist. I believe in you. So now I'll go ahead and I'll talk about Into the Woods a little bit. Bear with me. There's a lot of people, a lot of characters, lots of things going on. So here we go. So Into the Woods is a story about well-known fairy tale characters, mostly from the Brothers Grimm, go on adventures that all end up bringing them together to save the realm from a giant. So the first act explores wishes and wish fulfillment, and the second act delves into the consequences of those wishes coming true. So I'm just going to go main character by main character to get through the plot points. I'm going to try to go as fast as I can. Here we go. First, we have the narrator. So he introduces the characters and he guides the plot like a narrator does, but he's actually sacrificed to the giant in the second act in order to try to quell her rampage. So he dies. And then after that, the characters don't really know what to do. I am going to spoil this, just so you know. here we go. So next you have the baker and the baker's wife. I'll do them together. So these two really want a kid, but they find out in the first song that the old ugly witch who lives next door has cursed them with infertility because the baker's father stole magic beans from her garden. She got really pissed because those magic beans held all of her eternal beauty, so she lost it when he stole them. So she sends them on this quest to break the curse. So they need the cow is white as milk, the cape is red as blood, the slipper is pure as gold, the hair is yellow as corn. So they spend the whole time trying to get these items. So lots of stuff happens, but they get all of them. So they get a child by the end of the first act. Yay! And the second act, they end up fighting the aforementioned giant with all of the other characters, and the baker's wife actually ends up kissing the prince of the realm because she's bored, I guess. And while thinking about the morality of it all, she's killed by the giant. So the baker is basically left to raise his child alone after they defeat the giant, which they ultimately do. Next, you have the witch. So the witch used to be really beautiful, like I said, but then that damn baker's dad stole all her magic beans. So now she's ugly and warded. You should check out the costume. It's ridiculous.
Bernadette.
She looks great. Really amazing. So after all the items are collected, the witch ends up breaking the curse and becoming beautiful again. And also as part of this curse, she stole the baker's father's firstborn, who is actually a daughter, who is Rapunzel. So she keeps Rapunzel locked away in a tower and cares for her there. So after she becomes beautiful again, or maybe before, I can't quite remember, she finds out Rapunzel has been seeing another prince. Some guy's been coming to see her, and she gets really pissed off because she wants Rapunzel for herself. So she cuts off her hair and she banishes her. Then once the giant shows up, the giant kills Rapunzel. The witch is sad and she like wants to sacrifice the character that the giant's after, but at some point she ends up just kind of like being like, fuck it, and vanishing from the story. It's unclear a little bit, but that's her jam. Then we have Jack, like Jack and the Beanstalk. So Jack lives with his mom and they're really poor, and she makes him go sell his cow, Milky White, because they need money. But he's really sad because Milky White is his best friend, which is really sad. So he doesn't want to sell him. And he ends up being tricked into selling his cow to the baker for magic beans, the magic beans from the witch. And they do end up being magical, but Jack's mom is super pissed. But then she like throws him in the garden and a beanstalk grows, you know, like the story goes. So Jack ends up like running up and down the beanstalk, stealing shit from the giants who live up there. And they become really rich. But then one day the giant falls out of the sky. Like it catches Jack and it falls and it dies. And this upsets the giant's wife, understandably. Mm-hmm. So she is the giant who ends up coming down and going on a rampage and killing everyone. So the giant tries to kill Jack, but ends up killing his mother, and then the other characters defeat the giant. Next we have Cinderella. So you know the story, the prince is giving a ball, she really wants to go. It pretty much unfolds like you expect it to, with her marrying the prince by the end of the first act. And then in act two, she's pretty bored. She's like kind of happy, but she's like, this is boring. And then eventually finds out that the prince cheats on her with the baker's wife, as I mentioned before. So she ends up leaving him and she goes to help to defeat the giant at the end. And lastly, we have Little Red, as in Riding Hood. She is referred to as a hungry little girl quite a bit. She eats a lot, I guess.
Little Red reminds me of Big Red, that soda.
Oh my god. Like the gum. Isn't that what it's called? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so she's hungry. And again, the story unfolds pretty similarly in the first act as to what you're used to. So she goes to see her grandma, the wolf eats her and sings a really creepy song. And then the baker ends up saving her from the wolf, which prompts her to give him her cape, which is the cape is red as blood, which he needs to break the curse. She's also the catalyst for the giant attack in a way. She becomes like a really big badass at a second. She has like a wolf's, she like wears the wolf's hide as like a new cape. Like she's like crazy, but she becomes a catalyst for the giant attack in a way because she meets Jack and he brags to her about having been to the giant kingdom and blah, blah, blah. And like, she doesn't believe him, so she's like, prove it. And he's like, okay. And then he goes up and steals something else, and that's when the male giant dies, prompting his wife to get really pissed off and go kill everyone. Yeah, that's pretty much all the characters and what happens. Yeah, you ready to move on? That's all I got.
I want to know your rating.
Oh, shit. I'm already fucking it up. Okay. I'm going to give Into the Woods 7.5 out of 10 beans.
Okay, I'm going to give Into the Woods a rating and then a caveat. I'm going to give Into the Woods a rating of 6 out of 10 beans. And my caveat is I do have to admit at the forefront of this podcast that I have only seen the movie version with like Anna Kendrick and Meryl Streep and co.
Blasphemous.
So I do just want to be upfront about that to begin with. That being said, I have listened to like a lot of the music. I know the original cast and stuff like that music wise, but the only like staged version I've seen is the movie.
stage in quote, James unquote. Corden is the baker. Get out. Anyway, I guess I should be up front too. The only, I've seen Shrek the movie a million times, but the only live version of Shrek the musical I've seen was a middle school production that my best friend's little sister was in.
Have you not seen the Netflix version?
No. I guess I should prepare better for this next time.
Sammy.
I'm really sorry.
Okay, I mean, I didn't prepare either, so I'm not mad at you on that front. I'm just mad because you've had access to an iconic musical on Netflix for free for years and haven't taken advantage of it yet.
I'm sorry. I just think the best we can do is pledge to prepare better next time.
That's toupee. Toupee.
Toupee. All right. So that was the rating section. Let's move on to the debate section.
Yeah, bring it.
I would just like to start out and say that, like, obviously Shrek is a children's movie and the musical is kind of geared towards kids. Although I think the one I saw was actually Shrek the Musical Jr. So obviously there's some stuff they have to cut out. But I think...
I love that this is what we're going off of for each other's
I think it's going to be great. I honestly, I had a great time. All the little 12-year-old actors were really great. It was Donkey was wonderful. He was so great. Anyway, I just want to start off by saying Into the Woods is decidedly probably not for kids, really. I don't remember what the movie was rated, but it's got some pretty messed up stuff in there and, like, kind of tough moral lessons that are a little bit ambiguous at times. But I think we should start showing Into the Woods to children rather than Shrek. We can still show Shrek to kids, but I think Into the Woods needs to be
in Shrek.
It needs to be in the rotation for children. And I mostly think that just because, so Shrek the movie, and therefore Shrek the musical, in my opinion, would not exist without Into the Woods, because that type of subversion of fairy tales was kind of Into the Woods' gig first. So here's my argument for that. So upending fairy tales now is something that everyone kind of does, like even Disney kind of does it now, like upends their own shit that they like fucked everyone's mind up with in the early 90s. Anyway, not that I don't love that stuff, but when Into the Woods came out, which it debuted on Broadway in 1987, according to Wikipedia, Disney wasn't really in its Renaissance period, so you didn't have the Little Mermaid or Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast or any of that stuff. But as far as other Disney princesses, you did have Cinderella, you had Sleeping Beauty, you had Snow White, so you still had this idea of like a Disney fairy tale that is pretty traditional and safe and then ends up with a happy ending. But what this show really does is consider wish fulfillment in the context of Brothers Grimm fairy tales, which are really fucked up. And it keeps a lot of those elements of the Brothers Grimm, because that's pretty much what the first act is. It's just everything happening simultaneously, as it does in the original story with the baker and the baker's wife baked into the story as kind of the person who the audience identifies with most, I guess, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it still subverts those fairy tales in a way just because of the entirety of the second act. I mean, it gives you a peek at what happens after Happily Ever After. So I think it's way more of a kind of be careful what you wish for metaphor than a lot of those fairy tales, even the kind of messed up versions that the Brothers Grimm did a long time ago, just because it gives you a peek at what happens after, you know, the curtain falls, so to speak. So I think Shrek, for example, so we fast forward to 2001 when Shrek the movie came out.
Cameron Diaz.
Oh, iconic. I love her. Sorry. I really love her. But Shrek is all about subverting fairy tales and subverting tradition, right? So the moral is don't judge a book by its cover. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
I would say that's amoral.
Amoral. From the story. Okay, fair. And I think, I actually think the musical does a bit of a better job at like portraying that moral than the movie. Well, first of all, in the first movie, at least, they don't go into his backstory. So you don't like know that he was abandoned in the swamp and you don't know all that stuff. But I think in the movie, he's like just kind of a dick. He walks around with a very like, no one's nice to me because I look this way mentality, which is probably true sometimes. But at the beginning of the movie, you see a lot of the fairy tale characters like, they've been like evicted. They're like, and they're like, we have nowhere else to go. Like, can you please help us? And I understand not wanting everyone to move into your house, but he's just like blatantly an asshole. And he's kind of blatantly an asshole like throughout the movie. And yeah. From what I remember of what I saw in the middle school production, the 12-year-old actor who portrayed Shrek was very good. And he was just, he played more into the insecurity of the looks. And I think the script.
Isn't he on Broadway now?
The 12-year-old actor? Yes.
Yeah.
yeah, he's like 14 now, I guess. but so in that respect, I do think that Shrek the Musical plays into that moral of don't judge a book by its cover a little better, just because the main character isn't just like kind of a dick the whole time. Anyway, I think the central argument of Into the Woods is a little more nuanced than that. And this is getting back to why I think this should be shown to children when they're very young. And that moral comes in, no one can be alone. So it's witches can be right, giants can be good. You decide what's right, you decide what's good. And that puts things on a spectrum where no one is ever fully right and no one is ever fully wrong, which for the most part in the real world is like, I think pretty accurate.
No, I think everything is a spectrum.
Like, yeah, and a nice thing for kids to learn. And even the finale of the whole show is be careful what you do or be careful what you say, like children will listen. And that's almost like a warning, like don't show them this like, don't show like these black and white or like obviously sexist or obviously racist things. Not that Shrek is any of those things, but like the perfect little Disney fairy tale or like the black and white version of the story that could have been told is not told. And I think it's nice to like think about kids as adults in that way or think about them as being able to handle kind of real world truths when they're pretty young.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have to say that I have not ever looked into the woods through that lens, and I really appreciate that argument, actually. And I still am sitting by Shrek. Okay, so here, okay, just one, a couple of responses to some of the things. I agree that Shrek wouldn't exist without Into the Woods, and I also want to argue that I think Shrek is very aware of that, and, like, is even in many ways a parody of Into the Woods.
That's true.
like a lot of the characters in Into the Woods are also in Shrek the Musical as background characters of the freaks that like are evicted and abandoned from society. Yeah. I also like, okay, so just like a disclaimer, I don't know if I expressed this enough in the beginning of this, but like I truly and genuinely love this show. Like, this is not a joke for me. I can joke about it, but this is not a joke. I think that it really has some phenomenal messages, like packaged in a really beautiful and entertaining show. I think, like, I would argue that there are a lot of that glass of wine.
Sorry,
just
I know.
It's so big.
I was trying to be really discreet about it.
Yeah, I would argue that like a lot of this show has like feminist texts in it, has queer texts in it, which we'll talk a bit more about later. But I think that's a big part of like the transition from the movie to Broadway is I think that like separation from Disney, you know, like conglomerate, like I know it still is with Broadway, but they allow more, I think, creative freedom on that. Yeah, I think it allows it to have some more like tongue-in-cheek and self-aware and like really cool messages.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that one of my favorite things about Shrek the Musical is how like clever the lyrics are. And I know, like, I'm not here to deny like Sondheim's clever
of the
lyricism. And I also think that this is a good time for me to argue about like why I don't agree with a lot of reviews of Broadway shows, because I think that the reviewing like people are so based in like this highbrow, lowbrow culture. And if something is highbrow theater, that's like, even if it's like out there, but different, like Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812, mm-hmm. which may we'll or may talk not about. Talk about at some point. yeah, which like was out there, but got really great reviews because it felt very up there and highbrow, and it's Tolstoy. Mm-hmm. But I think that things like Shrek the Musical are sometimes automatically written off because they're associated with like that brand. And I think sometimes that like obscures reviewers' ability to recognize some of the like really incredible things. I think so. Janine Tesori wrote mm-hmm. The book or the oh my god, y'all, I'm high right now.
The lyrics
to Shrek the Musical. Janine Tesori, you may know her from Fun Home, mm-hmm. From Thoroughly Modern Millie, one of my favorite shows of all time, Carolina Change. Like, she has done a lot of really amazing stuff. And I think that, like, although I do agree that, like, it's marketed not only to adults, but also to kids, like, in a more palatable way than you're describing yeah. with Into the Woods, I think that there's so much, like, wit involved in some of these things. And so that for me is, like, I am obsessed with witty humor. Like, that is, yeah. like, my genre. I have seen the Kimmy Schmidt is one of my favorite shows, and the reason why is because, to me, every single line is just a joke. Like, it's so mm-hmm. smart, and I've seen that series, like, every episode probably 30 times. And that's how I feel about Shrek the Musical. I think that it is so fucking witty. Like, it's so extra. It's, like, drag kind of like mm-hmm. the song Donkey Pot Pie is when the dragon, which is played by like three belting women, that it's so draggy, like they're literally in this like crazy like dragon cosplay, but it's like makeup mm-hmm. and all this stuff, and they're belting about how they're gonna like eat this donkey and make a pot pie out of it. Yeah. No. It's just so extra, and I really, really appreciate that about this show. And yeah, I every time I watch it, I like tear up, I laugh, I cry, I all of it. I do the whole nine yards. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's my main argument. I'll have some other things, but that's what I want to say right now.
Yeah. I agree with you about the kind of highbrow uppity theater critic thing, mm-hmm. Which I think sometimes I aspire to, but also other times hate. this is kind of a side note, but like I saw Something Rotten. Me and my sisters went to New York and we got to go see Something Rotten. And I kid you not, I have never laughed so hard. Like,
yes, Something Rotten is incredible.
Fucking funny. I laughed the entire time, like belly laughing. It was great. And then I came back. It was when we were at Vandy. So I like came, it was over the summer, I think. And I came back to Vandy and I talked to Dr. Love, Dr. James Levensheimer, who was kind of our, like, he helped with original.
He class. Was a musical theater professor. And he also just yeah. like knew yeah. a lot. Like, we respected yeah. him a lot.
We respect him a do. Lot. He yeah. helped out. Yes, still do. This is not
that wasn't a past tense.
No. He's great. If you're listening, love ya. But I remember talking to him about it and he was kind of like Something Rotten, like, that's for like stupid asses. He didn't say that, but it came off that way. And I was like, yikes, I really liked it. But yeah, I completely agree with you about that. I think that theater can get mm-hmm. very like, you know, like
yes, up their own the asses sometimes.
The theater. But sometimes that point being made, I don't think I've ever been to a show where I didn't have a good time. Like, even if it was bad. Like,
I agree. I'm so easy to please.
Me too.
I don't know. I know some people who will go see a show and then come out and be like, all the things that they didn't like about it. And I, like, while I do look at things critically, I am so easily entertained. Same. There's only one show in my life that I've seen that I didn't like. And it was King Kong on Broadway. And I, like, wanted to like it so bad. It was just, like, awful.
You didn't even like the effects weren't good, like
no okay that the King Kong effect was incredible, but like that was literally the focal point of the show. And like, while I think that was incredible, I didn't go to that show, a musical, to just see like a really beautiful animatronic, you know, ape. Creature ape walk around. Like, I could have gone to like a circus for that. I don't know.
You can see that anywhere.
I could see that anywhere.
Walking down the streets, New York. No, I understand. But yeah, no, I walked out of that middle school version of Shrek the Musical, Shrek the Musical Junior, and I was like, that was incredible. Great job, kids. And I was like 22. Like, it was great. Anyway, so should we move on? Do you want to talk about kind of the gayness of it all?
In a second, one thing I do need to do before we move on to the recreate section is just the bop list of Shrek the Musical, because that is another reason to me why this show is so good. For those who don't know, a bop is just like, it's a song that when you're listening on the album, you never skip. Like, you would not even think of skipping it. I'm just going to go through. There's a lot, so get ready. Mm-hmm. Big Bright Beautiful World, Story of My Life, I Know It's Today, one of the best transition songs in Broadway history. Sammy Purcell herself sang the old Fiona part of that song in my show.
Logan What's directed up, a Duloc. Show when we were in college. And
I did.
Yeah, it was great.
What's Up, Duloc? Donkey Pot Pie. Who I'd Be. Amazing, like, ballad song. Mm-hmm. Morning Person. I Think I Got You Beat. Freak Flag, This Is Our Story, and then they sing I'm a Believer at the end.
Like, that is really fun.
It's incredible.
I think I would have preferred Accidentally in Love at the end, but whatever. We'll take whatever counter.
Agree to disagree. okay.
Can I go through the Into the Woods bop list?
Yeah, go for it.
Maybe non-existent. That's,
okay,
but I'll try.
Actually, you know what? I do have one argument to make about Into the Woods before you do this. Okay. The thing, I feel like I should defend my, like, it's not, I don't have a vendetta against this show. I don't love it. It's not my favorite, to be totally honest. I know I've only seen the movie, but I know the plot. I have listened to like a lot of the albums, and I've seen like kind of some bootleg scenes and stuff, and the thing to me is, like, I just don't feel like it's a consistent show. When it slaps, that girl slaps, but when it doesn't, I'm just kind of like left wanting a lot more. And I think that another part of the reason why I think I don't like it is, to me, it feels like the epitome of highbrow theater compared to lowbrow. And what I mean by that is, it's like, it's Sondheim. So how can you not like Sondheim, who I like 100,000% agree is like one of the greatest lyricists, yes, like,
please,
of all
don't
time.
Disrespect.
I'm not. Man. That's the thing, though, is that I love him. But I think that having that attached to this almost makes it like immune from criticism. At least in terms of like what's a popular opinion in the musical theater community. And I just, like, maybe it's because I went in with that high expectation, but I've never been like blown away by Into the Woods like I have with Shrek the Musical.
Okay, so a couple things. So I think that's completely fair as far as a criticism about Into the Woods. And I also, this is not my favorite Stephen Sondheim show by a mile. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. Especially in terms of lyrics, like, and I, that might sound weird because I do think like shit like The Witch's Rap is really funny and it's really fun. Like, she's like, greens, nothing but greens, rutabaga, blah blah blah, blah, blah. It's very funny and it's clever in a sense, but I think like where I really gravitate towards Sondheim is like the more emotional stuff. So like Company lyrics, or even like Sith overtures.
Yeah.
Even West Side Story, a spoiler alert, we might talk about that in another episode. but West Side Story is really gorgeous lyrics. And I think that it's not his strongest as far as lyrics go, even though some of it's very impressive as far as
when it slaps, it slaps.
Exactly. And even like Your Fault is, having done it myself, because I also did that in the show, it is fucking hard. And I respect to any actor who can get through that song. It's so fast. But I think, weirdly enough, a lot of the music, and not all of the music, because this show is pretty much entirely sung through. And I think that's difficult to have it's difficult for a show like that to be consistently like musically engaging.
Yeah.
Because so much of it is narrative, right?
Yeah.
So like Les Mis, but Into the Woods I think is better than Les Mis. Anyway. So fun, even with that in your head, as far as like the necessity to have those kind of more explanation worthy songs, I think a lot of the music in this is really, really beautiful. And you said like everyone loves Sondheim. My dad hates Sondheim. Like with vitriol I've never seen. Like,
okay, I just wanted to clarify that I do love and appreciate Sondheim, and I'm not trash talking him.
No, I know. All. We don't need to trash talk that man. Sorry. he probably doesn't care. But also I also really liked Rhythm Musical. I just want you to know that.
Okay, should we get to the recreate section?
Yeah, let's do it. Do you think this is the gayest section we'll have?
One might hope.
I hope so.
Okay, do you want to go first or should I?
I can go first. Let me scroll down this document here. So Into the Woods, part of some Into the Woods criticism that a lot of people got into at the time was the allegory for AIDS or HIV/AIDS kind of hidden within the giant narrative. So a bunch of critics basically saw the giant as this entity. It was unseen. So the way the show is kind of staged, obviously, like they didn't like create a full-blown giant. The characters are just kind of looking up at her the entire time. So she's unseen. She kills indiscriminately. A lot of people took that, and the show came out in the 80s. A lot of people took that as kind of an allegory for HIV/AIDS. And when people asked, some journalists asked Stephen Sondheim about this, and it didn't explicitly say that they had that in mind when they were creating it, but he was basically like, yeah, I can see that. If that's how people felt, then that's completely valid, which I agree with. I think it's like definitely in the eye of the beholder. But that being said, I would have really appreciated, I think the one thing that could have made this show a little more interesting, and I say that kind of jokingly but also kind of not, is to like make it a little more overt, not HIV/AIDS, but just like the queerness or the gayness of the characters. Yeah, yeah. And I, full disclosure, do not like this movie very much. I don't think it's very good. I saw it in theaters and I was a little disappointed to say the least. But the agony scene between Chris Pine and Billy Magnuson is just like chef's kiss. Like those two were so funny and so great and really got into it, like ripping shirts off, like just very into their own bodies. And watching it, I was like, well, like what if the princes were in love? Maybe this is the narrative we need, right?
Yes, it is.
I think they might be related, unclear, but in this version they're not related. So you can just nix that. It's not Game of Thrones. So in my recreate, I kind of took the lyrics of Agony, just made them fit the narrative of a gay love story between the princes.
Great, let's hear it.
Here we go. In this version, just a little bit more background. In this version, the princes are both they're in love with each other. And I don't think they have names. They're like Cinderella's prince and Rapunzel's prince. Cinderella's prince has a duty to the kingdom. So he needs to dispel the rumors about he and Rapunzel's prince. So there are rumors flying around the kingdom that maybe there's a thing going on there. And that's the whole reason they're having a ball in the first place, because they're trying to find him a wife ASAP to kind of get rid of those. So instead of seeing agony about their respective love for Cinderella and Rapunzel, or infatuation with those two, they sing agony about the duty the prince feels to pick Cinderella, and the other prince sings about his feelings for
Cinderella's prince. Damn, I stand that.
I love it. Okay, here we go. So I didn't change a ton, just like full disclosure. So it starts off with Cinderella's prince, pretty much the same. He says, did I abuse her, show her disdain? Why does she run from me? So it's the night after the ball. He's like, he's kind of pissed just because he knows, like, he feels a duty to his country. He's like, I gotta do this. Like, why the fuck doesn't she like me back? And then he says, if I should lose her, how shall I regain the heart she has won from me? But instead of the heart she has won from me, he says, the kingdom that judges me. Then he goes, agony beyond power of speech, when the one thing you need instead of want is the only thing out of your reach. And then Rapunzel's prince, so we start changing more lyrics here. He says, In his ivory tower, he sits by the hour, ignoring my stare. Blithe and becoming and so fucking stunning, no one could compare. And he goes, agony. And then the lyrics change here. He says, is about to unfurl when the one man you want has to marry a girl. Unfair. Relatable. Then they both start singing. They go, agony, oh, the torture they teach. And Rapunzel's prince says, what's as intriguing, Cinderella's prince, or half so fatiguing, both as what's out of reach. And then Cinderella's prince goes into his kind of like bragging moment where he's like, am I not sensitive, clever, well-mannered, considerate, passionate, charming, as kind as I'm handsome, an heir to a throne? And Rapunzel's prince is like, you are everything that I could wish for, dude. And Cinderella's prince says, then why no? He really says, dude. And then Rapunzel's prince says, I don't know. And Cinderella's prince kind of goes, he turns away, he goes back to talking about Cinderella. And he's like, the girl must be mad. And Rapunzel's prince says, you know nothing of madness. Lyric change here. Till you're pining for him and his duty calls as you're nearing him, all the while hearing him, blah, 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 agony. It's pretty much the same after that. Yeah.
I really like that interpretation.
Thanks. I don't know. You can always.
We should write into Sondheim.
I think we should send him a letter, don't you think?
I mean, that's the point of Recreate, isn't it?
Just send it to him and be like, hey, I know this musical's been out for like 40 years, but.
Also, every time I hear the song Agony, I always want it to be agony, it's so easy to leave.
Like, oh my God,
literally every time.
What a mashup.
Spoiler alert, that will not be making the rounds. No. On this show.
No, 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 no.
At least this season.
Maybe next, we'll see.
Okay, so funny that that is the plot line that you added and introduced to Into the Woods, because I have a similar Recreate section in my show.
Oh.
So I'm not adding anything. However, there's one song from Shrek the Musical. I can't say it's a favorite because literally I could choose like six favorites from that show and I would be truthful in all of them. But it's like one of those. And that song is Freak Flag. And that song has made me cry multiple times, even though it's a really fun and upbeat song, because I think that the translation of it to be a like queer lens is extremely obvious. And so what I did is I rewrote the song Freak Flag to be a queer anthem. Much like you, I did not have to change that much.
Exactly.
I literally, like, it, most of the work was done for me. But I will introduce these lyrics now.
Great.
Also, everyone, I'm gay and I'm gonna use the word faggot, and like, I'm sorry if you're not okay with that, but I say that word sometimes. Okay.
I'm straight.
Ready?
And don't feel qualified to tell you what to do. So
well, you don't have to. Okay. Listen up, faggot. We spend our whole lives wishing we weren't so for weekends to range. That song is such a good beginning. They made us feel that way, but it's they who need to change. The way they think, that is. It's time to stop the hiding. It's time to stand up tall. Say, hey world, I'm different. And here I am, glitter and all, glitter and all. Let it be known, I have not changed a single lyric. So far.
Glitter it all.
Literally, that's the literally that is the lyric.
Amazing.
Let your freak flag wave, let your freak flag fly. Never take it down, never take it down. Raise it way up high. Let your freak flag fly. Again, all of this is the original lyrics. This verse I did rewrite. It's usually Pinocchio singing about how it's hard to be a puppet, but I changed it a little. I only changed one line, actually. It's hard to be a faggot. So many strings attached, but it's not a choice you made. It's just how you were hatched. Again, very little change there. Then it's the chorus again. That's the same throughout, so I'm not going to say that again. But then we get into the, like, what's his name? The wolf and all these other characters. So I rewrote some of these. I'm proud to be a piggy. I raise my furry fist. Papa bear, papa bear. It's time I told the world. Again, I didn't change any of that. This one I did change. I'm an anti-capitalist. It's usually I'm a Scientologist. And I was like, that's not very gay.
No.
Okay, this is all rewrites. I eat a lot of kale. I still listen to No Doubt. I'm going to shed my house coat. Miss Thing, you work it out. And that's when that big bad wolf is like a drag queen dressed as a woman.
Oh, I do remember that. They did that. Yeah. I think they did that in the middle school production I saw.
And then this is the part I always cry at. Most of this has not changed until the end, but it's like, we've got magic, we've got power, who are they to say we're wrong? And then all the things that make us special are the things that make us strong. Like, that's like literally, I don't know, I think that's why when you asked if the moral of the story is don't be judged for your looks, I'm like, yeah. I think in the musical, it's more than that. Like, it's like,
yeah.
The things that make you different are the good parts of you. And that's why I love this. So what makes us special, makes us strong. Let your freak flag wave, let your freak flag fly. Never take it down, never take it down. Raise it way up high. Let your freak flag fly. And then they're like, fly, 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 fly. John Tartaglia hits that, like, high C or whatever that is.
Can you do
and
it?
And then instead of I'm wood, I'm good, get used to it, it's I'm here, I'm queer, get used to it.
Wow.
And then it's like, sorry to all your ears.
That's like, I feel like you just took a song, like thinking about how little that you changed, you just took a song that was already like fairly gay and you're like,
and made it gayer.
Let's make it explicit.
Yeah, why not? That's why it feels so explicit to me.
It definitely is. Yeah. I love that. That was so great. Wow.
Thank you. I loved yours.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes this episode of Rate, Debate, Recreate. We will tease the next episode, we're not going to tell you what shows, but we'll give you the category.
No. Do you want to say what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Drum roll, please. The category is musicals about high-profile trials regarding murderous women.
What could it be?
Yeah, so give us your guesses in the comments below.
God. Where could it take place?
And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone. We're happy we got through that. God.
Yeah.
Thanks. All right. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.